HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today is Bobby Cole. Now, Bobby Cole works for Pass It On Outdoors, a youth mentorship program getting new people into the outdoors. And I'm really excited to talk to him about his passions, what working there means to him, and why it is that he's doing what he's doing. But he started out Western hunting, I mean, hunting elk and mule deer, antelope, things like that. But now his main passion is wing shooting. And so, I mean, that's a pretty interesting transition. I feel like a lot of times people go from smaller animals, maybe they started out waterfowl or rabbit or pheasant hunting, and then transitioning into bigger and bigger things as they move farther out west or explore more Western opportunities. So it's going to be an interesting episode. I'm really excited about this one. Let's jump in.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And on the show with me today, I've got Bobby Cole. Now, he is a Kansas native, has hunted the West basically his whole life, and now is helping youth get involved in the same thing. So I'm really excited to talk about his journey, hear more about that, hear what it's like to get pulled from school to go out and elk hunt, actually. So Bobby, thanks for hopping on the show.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Why don't you share with the listeners where you're at today, how you got there, kind of the progression of your journey from, you know, growing up as a kid, always being involved in the outdoors, to helping others do that same thing.
So I'm currently the Western Kansas program coordinator for Pass It On Outdoor Mentors. And, you know, a few people have asked me how I got in this position. I think it's really kind of a mixture of dumb luck and persistence probably kind of got me here. There's really no set way to get into this position, I don't think. But, I started out as a kid, always in the outdoors with my dad, my grandpa, my uncle. We were, pheasant hunters out in Western Kansas. Then we had a family ranch up in Colorado, and every November they pull us out. And we go spend 2 weeks up in Colorado mule deer and elk hunting. And like I was telling you earlier, it's that I didn't realize until I got quite a lot older that that wasn't the normal thing to do. And I really found that wasn't normal when I was overseas with my buddies in the Army. And I'd be telling you, I was like, hey, you know, my parents used to pull me out of school and I'd take all my homework up to Colorado and I'd elk hunt in the mornings, do my homework, then elk hunt in the evenings. And then once I had elk, then I'd go after a mule deer. And they'd be like, dude, well, that's not normal at all, you know? And so I grew up in this space where we were always outdoors, hunting, fishing, everything. And as I got older, I realized how lucky I was. And I started trying to pass it on to other vets whenever I got back from that last deployment, you know, and through the fall and outdoors. And now I'm in the position I am now because I believe they saw value in what I was doing for veterans, and they offered me a job to do it for youth. And that's where we are now.
Man, that's so cool. I love the stories of people that, you know, find a career that completely revolves around their passions. And so I'm sure that's been interesting for you. You know, like everybody who gets to that point, I feel like goes, how did I get here? Like, this is insane. I always dreamed about this. I mean, does it seem surreal still, or has it kind of set in now and it's just the normal?
So I've been in this position for 8 months. And there's still days I wake up and it's like, I don't know, like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall type thing. It's like, you know, I'm real lucky I got in this spot. But yeah, it's very surreal and it's very, I'm blessed. It's not a lot of people are blessed to be in this position. And it's something I hope to not never take advantage of and always really enjoy doing.
Yeah, for sure. So you grew up and you would go and hunt Colorado, even though you were from Kansas. I mean, that alone, I feel like, is fairly rare in the outdoor space. You know, a lot of people might take off as kids to go to the rifle whitetail hunt. But to actually travel to a different state as a kid, I mean, the fact that that was normal for you seems pretty wild to me. Like, I didn't even, I think I left the state of Wisconsin like two or three times as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I just never left up until I was 18. And the fact that you were doing that every year to hunt is pretty sweet. Do you think that started a passion for you, I guess, to actually travel and hunt and go experience new places?
I think it definitely instilled that passion in us. And again, like I said, we were lucky. My family had a ranch up over south of Craig, Colorado. And so, you know, we had the ability to go up there. And went, I think the ranch was around 1,000 acres and it was surrounded by BLM. So that, you know, 1,000 acres turned into 20, 30,000 acres real fast. So we had all that to adventure on and hunt and stuff. So it definitely instilled a passion. You know, I'm not a big game hunter anymore. I go out and I'll shoot a whitetail now and then. I went and shot a pronghorn down in New Mexico last year. But really what I want to do is I want to shoot birds.
Yeah, it's I feel like with hunting, you go one of two ways, right? I mean, you go like extreme big game. That seems like the progression. You know, you make it harder and harder on yourself. You go with more primitive weapon or weaponry, or like the wing shooting sports. Holy cow, man. I'm sure growing up as a kid, every kid's patience starts to run thin when they don't see an animal or they don't get a shot opportunity at one for a long time. But with wing shooting, it seems like the opportunities are endless. You know, you could go out day after day. And yeah, there's days that you're going to kind of strike out or not have the best day ever. But it's more of like a high octane version of hunting, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like, because you do get a lot more action. And I'm not the most patient person. So like, you know, when we elk hunted and mule deer hunted, it was spot and stock. So we were always moving. We were trying to get into a good spot to get a shot. And now it's, you know, wing shooting, it's the same thing. I'm walking, I'm looking for birds to flush up, or I'm sitting in a blind and I know that in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to have birds landing in my spread. So, and I think it's definitely that, instant gratification kind of thing almost.
Yeah. So, when did you start getting into that? Or was that something that you also did as a kid?
We did a lot of pheasant hunting and dove hunting as kids, you know, like dove hunting was like a national holiday for my family. You know, September 1st, we were, you know, if it was school, we'd maybe be called in a half day late, or we wouldn't even go to school that day. And we'd all set up around Milo Field and we'd shoot dove all day.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing we did all the time. And, you know, pheasant hunting, it was Thanksgiving. You know, we'd usually get together on Thanksgiving as a family and go pheasant hunting, or just different things like that. And it was fun then. But I was at that point in time, I was always wanting to go to the ranch and go hunting again. I think whenever I really started to develop passion, I came home on midterm leave for my first deployment, and my dad and I went out, and we just had a hell of a day. We shot 8 pheasant, which was our we both limited out. We shot a bunch of quail, and at that point in time, I was like, man, I think I kind of like this more than the big game hunting. So
yeah, the camaraderie that comes with small game hunting or with wing shooting sports, I feel like is second to none. You know. Mm-hmm. There's things that I got into basically once I was in college that I never thought I would. And dove hunting was one of those. Like the dove hunt opener, I missed it this year and it was like a knife to the heart. I haven't missed the dove opener in Missouri in a long time. And then like even frog gigging, something that I never even considered as a hobby. You know, all the guys get together and there's just something you're active. You're wading through ponds, you're looking for these frogs. It's the middle of the night, you're hanging out, you're BSing, giving each other a hard time if you miss. Like, that's really cool. And you don't seem to get that nearly as much with whitetail hunting, especially because whitetail hunting has become a very solitary sport. You know, you go and sit in your tree stand for the most part by yourself all day long. Western hunting, it's a little bit different because you can get out to spike camp with a couple buddies and, you know, you might help call one in for the other guy, but the camaraderie and the fellowship of it with the wing shooting stuff, I feel like that's one of the biggest draws for me.
I think that's a big part of it as well. You know, when I was volunteering with the Fallen Outdoors, you know, I was able to take out 12 vets at a time on a pheasant hunt. And it was the same thing. Like, you know, you're saying like you could BS with all the boys. You can watch them shoot at a pheasant and laugh when they miss, you know, and like, it was just a good time being out there. And same thing, you know, the waterfowl bug hit about 5 years ago. And I didn't really do a lot of it until I met a guy that was like, hey, I'll teach you how to waterfowl hunt. You teach me how to upland. I was like, deal. And now I got that bug real bad to my wife's dismay. So that's just, I don't know. That camaraderie is definitely a big part of the wing shooting.
Yeah. Do you have dogs of your own?
Yeah, I got a German short hair pointer. So he's kind of my best buddy.
I was going to say, I'm sure that's created a whole new passion for you, is just working your dog.
So we grew up with dogs. Okay. So I got, there was something I was used to, but I didn't get my, like, I got this dog, he's a year and a half old now. But yeah, it's definitely having my first actual gun dog that I've trained myself and done everything with is definitely probably it more increased it even more.
Yeah. So I talked to so many people who that's the story for it. You know, they're passionate about one thing or another, whether it's rabbit hunting, duck hunting, pheasant hunting, and then they get a dog and it's like, all right, it's a whole new sport in and of itself, you know, working a dog and training a dog. And we got a dog, gosh, 2 months ago now. Exactly 2 months ago, I think we picked up a dog, and I'm super pumped. I'm training it a little bit on my own. I mean, he's only 3 months old at this point, and he's been learning how to retrieve. You know, like I'll intentionally throw his little duck bumper out somewhere he can't see it and send him for it. And he's got to work around, and he's finally using his nose. I mean, for a long time, I'd watch him run right over the top of it. And I'm like, dang it, did I get the messed up dog out of the group? But now he's using his nose. He's bringing it back. Like, it's really cool to watch. And so I'm excited to get him out on his first actual hunt.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, being a father, having kids and stuff, is almost like watching my daughter ride a bike, watching him figure things out. It's almost the same level of pride you get when you see that. Because, you know, last year he wouldn't even look at a dove, let alone, like, you know, he'd kind of stare at it and he wouldn't think about picking it up. And this year, dove season, he was doing 300-yard retrieves out in uncut Milo and find this dove that we would never found.
Jeez.
So it was pretty impressive watching just the way it went through. But I got real lucky because, you know, I'm not a dog trainer and I'm not an expert, but I got some buddies that are. You know, okay. So then I was able to ask them questions like, hey, how do I get him to do this, or how do I get him to do that? And they were able to kind of walk me through the steps and tell me how to do it. Like, you know, I was going to send him to be trained by a guy named Matt Owak, who was a member of the Fallen Outdoors as well. And he owns his own kennel. He does a real good job. But my wife and kids fell in love with the dog and wouldn't let me send him up there for 6 months. So I kind of got it on myself, but it's been real cool watching him progress and knowing that I was the one to train him to do those things. So,
yeah, that is cool. I'm sure it's a great sense of accomplishment knowing that you're the reason for where he's at and how, you know, how well he performs. I'm kind of nervous that same thing's going to happen to me because the kids and the wife are super attached to this dog. Like, I mean, I love him. I love having him around, and it will seem weird not having him for 4 to 6 months, you know? And so the plan right now is in December to drop him off at a trainer, and like I said, 4 to 6 months, go back and pick him up so he's ready for next year. But it's just going to be so odd because he follows me around everywhere. Like when I get in the truck, he's riding shotgun, like just looking at me, like poking me with his nose, like, hey, I'm still here. Give me some love. And to all of a sudden not have him now would be pretty odd. So we'll see how that goes.
I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thanks, man. What does your year look like? What's on the agenda? I mean, dove season just I'd say just happened. That's a full month ago now that it started. What do you have planned?
I don't know, like going back with dove season, I think I got out around 30 some kids on dove hunts this during September. And so that was real cool, seeing some of these kids go on their first dove hunt, shooting their first dove and everything. It's just real rewarding being a part of that. And, you know, of course, shooting them with them. We've done some teal hunts already. I think I hosted 3 teal hunts. And then I did my first, the youth vet duck season here in Kansas. We did that this Saturday. And nice. I got 2 kids out on that hunt. And we shot 18 birds.
And
I think it was just a little over an hour. So we had a banger duck hunt that one. It was real good. And, you know, the one kid is his first duck hunt, and he's 11 years old, just got his hunter safety card and everything. So he just became eligible for our program.
Yeah.
And myself and the older kid, we had our limits pretty early on. we sit out there with him for another 45 minutes, just working singles in and watching. And, you know, the kid was, I told him, I was like, we can leave anytime you want, dude. You know, whenever you want to go, we can go. But he was very persistent, and he was very like, I'm going to get my limit today.
Yeah.
And we were finally able to get him. So it was real cool watching that too. So we got next weekend's our antlerless doe season here in Kansas, or yeah, antlerless deer season here in Kansas.
Nice.
So we got, I want to say Passive Outdoor Mentors, we have like 34 hunts on the calendar.
Wow.
And so I won't personally be hosting any of those, but I have a bunch of them. We rely heavily on volunteers. So I have a bunch of my volunteers in the area. They're all within about 45 minutes of where I live. So I'm kind of just on standby to help them track down any deer that they may not, they may just wound or whatever that day. So I'm on standby for that. And then got that regular duck season opens up the same day. So we'll have a bunch of duck hunts coming up and goose hunts. And I mean, my goal is to get kids out on just about every kind of hunt we can this year out in Western Kansas. So
that's so cool.
That is my goal.
I wish I would have known. I'm sure there's been like the Rod and Gun Club in my hometown. Mm-hmm. Like they had little events here and there. You could come out and shoot. Like they'd have a youth trap shooting day or something like that. But to have programs like this back then would have set me off on a whole new trajectory. You know, like starting out just being that 9-day gun hunter. Like that's all I did for years. And then to start finding out that there's all these different types of hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like any kid, what they're passionate about, you know, whether they're passionate about music or sports or video games or art or whatever. With hunting, there's so many different facets to hunting and to the outdoor space, whether it's fly fishing or spin fishing or archery, rifle, shotgun shooting, bird hunting, small game, like to allow kids to experience all of those and kind of figure out what they like the most and what they want to pour more of their time and energy into is a pretty cool deal.
And it's, you know, you got those kids. And so, like, we have I started back in February when they hired me on. And there's a girl out here that she came on her first turkey hunt with us, you know. Very first turkey hunt, she had success. So she took her three shots, but she got her first turkey. She was super excited about that. And then, you know, then a little ways down the road, we put on a frog gigging. And we went out to a little lake out here, and she came out on that and frog gig with us. So she got her first frog with us. Then from there, we went to dove season. She came out and shot her first dove with us. And she's going next week to shoot her first deer with us, hopefully. And then pheasant hunt. So she's got into this. And she is going to do pretty much all her firsts with us, which is really awesome to see.
That's so sweet.
And, we, you know, we're part of the R3 movement, you know, recruiting, retention, reactivation. And we kind of touch up on all those in one way or another. I mean, we have kids that have never hunted and don't come from a hunting background. They're getting involved in our program. We have kids that are from a hunting background get involved in our program. And then we have which is kind of unintended, the result of it is we have parents that we're reactivating as well. So like we'll have a parent who comes on a hunt. He's like, you know, I haven't hunted in 15 years. And we saw this and decided to get my kid on it. I'm like, now I'm hooked. Now I want to get back into it. And then they end up volunteering for us and helping us get more kids out. So it's just become a real cool thing seeing different things like that as well.
That's really sweet. Do you guys, are you guys hunting on like a specific property? Do you have like volunteer properties that people have offered up? Where exactly are you guys spending your time teaching these kids?
A little bit of all everything, you know, it's traditionally our program started out in Wichita back in 2002 as a part of the Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Then I believe it was 2006 is whenever they branched out and made their own organization. And then 2018, we started the Shooting Sport Outreach Program. And that's basically, we're trying to find the kids that are involved in the shooting sports with skeet and trap and all that in the high schools and get them to transition from the shooting sports to going out in the field. Because, you know, it's not a hard reach to go from your shooting skeet to your shooting birds now.
Yeah.
So that's where we focus a lot on those kids right now. But we won't turn down any kid that wants to get involved in our program. But our main focus is on them right now. And traditionally, like I said, in Kansas, the further west, the more you get into public lands. So Wichita doesn't have a lot of public lands around it unless you have water, and that's the public land usually. So traditionally, it's been private lands that people are willing to let us host trips on, or outfitters that have extra openings that they'll let us host trips on. Now that we're expanding out in western Kansas, we've done a lot on public lands because there's a lot more public lands out here. And I think there's a lot of value in teaching a kid how to read a map and look at the map and say, okay, this is where I can hunt out here. Like, you know, Onyx is a great tool, and the hunt stand, and we're partnering with Go Hunt, not Go Hunt. What's the other mapping system? We're partnered with a new mapping system as well. So these are valuable tools that kids need to learn how to use, and getting them out on public lands is valuable as well as well as private. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a big barrier to entry, I feel like, for new hunters, mm-hmm. is where do I go? You know, a lot of people don't realize how accessible public land is, or, you know, they probably know somebody that they go to school with or church with that, or their parents work with that has property that they could potentially get access to. Mm-hmm. And it's very intimidating, though, as, I mean, even as somebody who's moved to a new place and try to get access, I'm like, dude, I don't know where everything is. Like you mentioned, all the mapping softwares to teach them about those so that they can go, okay, I just need to look into this. I might need to look mm-hmm. up the specific regulations on, you know, A, B, or C public land area. And that way I know, you know, is it a place that I can go and hunt? What type of guns can I use there? What are the mm-hmm. point restrictions or the bag limits or whatever? To get them understanding that they have to, you know, do some of this research on the front end. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you might not be fully legal. I think that's great because I know a lot of people who go through hunter safety and then it's like, but now what? Mm-hmm. Like I got my license. I bought a gun. I bought a bow. I bought a whatever. And now I want to get out there and hunt. How do I find a place to hunt? Like, what do I do? But yeah. The fact that they're getting like real life experience with that is pretty sweet.
And I think we all the mentors that I know, all the program coordinators for our program that do all this stuff, I think we all do a pretty good job of when we're out there with the kid, like we explained to him, like, so when we were doing the duck hunt the other day, you know, I was explaining to the kid, like, that's smartweed. I'm like, and smartweed is what ducks want to eat.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's why we're sitting here. It's like, yeah. You know, and I'm like, then explain to him, like, you know, scouting is a huge part of everything hunting. And because he was telling me, he's like, how did you know to sit here? He's like, because I scouted. I was out here, you know, the day before making sure the ducks were landing here, and I made sure we were where the ducks wanted to be. And so, yeah, that's all valuable tools. And like you're talking about the barriers to hunting, we do a surveys. We send surveys out to all our hunters, and you know, we'll have like what's the biggest barrier to hunting is one of the questions on there. And one of the biggest things is one, I don't know what I'm doing, and two, I don't know where to go.
Yep.
And then we're providing those. You know, we're providing somebody that knows what they're doing to show them how to do it, and we're providing a location to go. So,
yeah, that's cool. What about tools and equipment? Do you guys like have that you let them use, or are they responsible for bringing their own stuff?
So for the most part, like I said, our main focus is a shooting sports kids. So usually they'll have a shotgun, they'll have the equipment needed. But if they don't have the equipment, then yeah, we will cover down. Like, so, you know, I have a couple of rifles. Savage Arms is one of our sponsors, so we have a couple of Savages and stuff. And if we have a kid that doesn't have a rifle, I have a Savage Arms sighted in that we can set them up with, you know.
Nice.
And just different things like that. So yeah, we cover down when we can. You know, we have Vail Camo has given us some blinds, so we have blinds we can set up for the kids and stuff. And so for the most part, we try to do as much as we can, but we kind of rely on hopefully they'll bring some stuff too. But if they don't, you know, I got plenty of extra guns.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you guys like one location, or do you have multiple branches that people can get involved in?
So we have right now we're in Kansas and what was that? I always messed it up. I always want to say the wrong state. Kansas and Iowa.
Okay.
So we have a coordinator up there, and we have three of us here in Kansas. Well, four of us. So our president's in Kansas, our vice president's in Kansas. We have me out west, and we have Eric Brown is our Eastern Kansas coordinator. Then Stephanie is out in Iowa.
Nice. So how many, I mean, it sounds pretty amazing. Like you said, you had 23 hunts or something like that planned out coming up. You get tons of kids out for each hunt. How many kids do you see come through the program each year?
It's getting bigger every year. So I know this year so far between us and Iowa, we've hosted 320 trips. And I think we're around 680 some kids out. And that's almost double what we did last year. So every year we're seeing an increase in kids that we get outdoors.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you had mentioned some parents come in and they're like, hey, I used to hunt. I'm getting mm-hmm. back into it now because of this. Is it like a youth and a mentor that both attend, or like, can it just be a teenager or a student?
So yeah, it's youth and a mentor. So we have, okay. We find the mentors who are just an experienced outdoorsman. And, you know, I say that, but like, there's a lot of people that are turned off by trying to come on as a mentor because they don't think they're experts at what they do.
Yeah.
And so we don't need an expert to do these things. We need somebody that has that kind of, you know, the more knowledge you have, the better. But if you know, if you're just really good at one thing like dove hunting, you can host dove hunts for us, you know? So that's one of the things that a somewhat experienced mentor that's passionate about getting kids outdoors is what we need for that. So we need that mentor there. Then we partner them with the youth. And then we usually, you know, there's instances like where you have a dove hunt and there's like 20 kids out there. We're okay with the parents not being right there with them. But if we're doing a turkey hunt or deer hunt near in a blind, we do require a parent be in the blind with that kid. Because okay. That's just kind of, you know, unfortunately we're in a crazy world nowadays, and that's to protect everyone involved by having that parent in there with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. What maybe you've probably got a bunch of these. Could you share with me maybe a story of one of the most memorable hunts that you've been on or been a part of?
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of them so far. I think we did a duck hunt, a teal hunt, and I took that same girl I was telling you about. We took her on that teal hunt, and getting her first limit on teal was a real cool experience. And I think that frog gigging trip was real cool. The one that I was a part of, but I wasn't actually at the hunt, we sent a kid out to eastern Kansas to do a turkey hunt, and he shot his first turkey, and we got video of it. And so that, you know, a kid shot the turkey, and he, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I did it, you know. And you have the mentor sitting there with the same look. He's like, yeah, you know, he's excited. And you got the dad next to him, and he's real excited too. And that kid, you know, he's jumping out of his seat, and he's looking. He's like, oh, well, it's still moving. And they're like, no, you got it, buddy. You got it. It's done. And that's probably – I wish I would have been there for that actual experience. But them sending me that video and me seeing the excitement on that kid's face is probably one of the best ones I've had so far. And our banger duck hunt on Saturday was a pretty good experience too, seeing that kid, how excited he was to get all his ducks. So
it's just, there's a different level when you know that you've ignited a fire mm-hmm. in somebody for something that you're passionate about doing. And yeah. You do see that a lot. Like the first time a deer walks in, or, mm-hmm. you know, the first time they do get to pull the trigger on something, like just watching their eyes light up is a whole different world. And I got to see that with my wife. She came out and she went through hunter safety a couple of years ago, got her license 2 seasons ago. Now she went out, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't think it was last year. She went out and shot her first deer and was just like over the moon, super excited about it. My son, he is finally legal age to hunt here in Missouri. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be coming out this year. And he's like, just yesterday, oh, I forgot to tell my wife that. I got to tell her that after this podcast. He comes up to me and he goes, hey, daddy, maybe we need to get me some camo for when I go hunting with you. And I'm like, yes. Like, he's thinking about it. We're outside playing. He's riding his scooter and he stopped because he thought about hunting. And I'm like, this is pretty exciting to me.
I know my daughter, she is 9, and she's my shadow, my oldest daughter. She'll go out with me just about anywhere I go, but she doesn't want to shoot yet. But she's got her own set of waders. She got her own set of a real tree max 5 camo. So she's got all that. She's I don't know, man. It's adult in a set of waders isn't very flattering.
Yeah.
But my daughter in a pair of waders is the cutest thing I've ever seen, I think. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
So I have my son. He lives in Missouri right now, but he's getting ready to move back to Kansas. The last time he was here, he was showing a lot of interest in getting involved in hunting too, which was, I was pretty happy to see. So it's very cool to see them start to like your passion as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I feel like anybody gets excited about that. Like, hey, I want my kid to do this. I want him to do this. And I don't remember who it was. One of my buddies, they're like, hey, what if your son decided to be a vegan? And I was like, I almost punched him. I was like, hey, dude, we don't talk like that. You know, like I want my kid to love the outdoors, and, you know, he doesn't have to like all the exact same things that I do, but to instill a passion for outdoor activities, you know, he might mm-hmm. just like to canoe or kayak.
Yeah.
But there's something about the outdoors where I'm like, you know, I just don't want him penned up inside all the time. Like if he wants to play video games here and there, sure, whatever. But the outdoors has changed my life for sure. And just being out there in creation and experiencing like encounters with animals and just being able to take meat from the land, you know, instead of going to the grocery store. I feel like every kid needs that opportunity to at least decide if it's for them or not.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So with the organization, are you guys looking at branching out to other places? Is it something that, you know, you're going to stick pretty close to home, or do you guys want one of these in every state?
My understanding is that we have a goal to spread into as many states as possible. So it's, I can't speak too much on it because it's, like I said, I'm fairly new to the organization, but I know we have talked about spreading into, I think Missouri is one that we've talked about going into eventually.
Yeah.
So there's some other states as well that we hope to go into. And I think it's a goal to eventually go into all the states that we can, but it's also, you know, it's a, we're a 501c nonprofit and we can only expand as much as we can, bring into to pay, because sure, we can run this as an on all volunteer basis, but to really, you know, to put on 600 hunts a year, 700 hunts a year, like you really almost need a paid position in all those states to make sure that it's being coordinated.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you want to be able to do it as efficiently as possible without, you know, having to shell out a ton of money, which means then you have to raise a bunch of money. But also at the end of the day, like as far as volunteers go and mentors go, like you don't want people to get burnt out and have a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
So that seems like it's always the fine line to walk with any nonprofit is like, hey, how do we get volunteers engaged and involved, but not burnt out and not feel like they get used or taken advantage of? I used to be a project coordinator for a big nonprofit here in Missouri. And it was the same thing, you know, like we had a lot of people that would come and volunteer and we wanted to make it fun and engaging for them so that they would keep coming back. But there's just definitely a balancing act with all of that.
And I, you know, volunteering for the Fall and Outdoors, there's definitely a lot. There's, you know, I was all volunteer work I did with them. I was putting on 40, 50 hunts a year or trips a year. And there's very much that burnout for me. So I was working a full-time job and I was doing all that volunteer work. And, you know, when you're playing a pheasant hunt for 14 guys, there's a lot more than just saying, hey, we're going to hit the fields. You know, it's for every hunt you'd host, you're probably putting in between 20 to 40 hours of prep work too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's burnout on my side. There's my wife, you know, she's like, you're doing this all volunteer. You don't need to be doing it to this extent. And then I have a bit of obsessive personality. So yeah, there's that definitely a burnout whenever you do those things and being able to be in a position where you're paid to do it. And that's, your full focus makes it so you can really put your heart and soul into it and really, really make the hunts that you put on and that you're part of worth it.
Man, I can only imagine how much goes into that because like, I love hunting. To do 40 or 50 hunts a year, that's a big deal in and of itself. And like, there's a lot of work that goes into that, but then to coordinate like, hey, when everybody's supposed to show up, what they're supposed to bring, you know, what licenses they need. I'm planning a trip right now for a couple buddies of mine and I to go down to Texas on a waterfowl and sandhill crane hunt. We're all super excited about it. But even for me, I'm like, every day I'm like, oh shoot, I need to send out that group message with all the information. And I have yet to do it. And all my buddies every day are like, hey dude, when are you sending that out? And to do that weekly or like multiple times a week, I could see how you need a paid position in each state in order to effectively do it.
Yeah. So like, you know, you're saying the planning phase, I know as soon as I get off here, I got like 10 or 15 emails I got to send out reminding people of their hunts this week. And just so it has like, hey, you know, I'm going to remind them of the date, time, location to meet up, their licenses they need again, their clothing they need again. Just all that stuff. I gotta send out those emails, and it's becomes a full time job doing. I mean, you know, with the Fallen Outdoors, I had a Facebook chat that I would set up with all the people who are on the hunt, so I could just send out stuff on there, and it was a good way to do it. I wouldn't say the best way to do it, but it was a good way to do it, and we got it done, and we definitely had a lot of success that way.
Yeah,
but yeah. This way, it's these emails and the systems that we have in place to do these things are just, they're really good systems that we have in place to get everything out to everyone we need. I'd say the biggest part of my job right now is finding youth in my area to get on some of these hunts. Because, you know, we've had hunts go unfilled And that's just because we're new to the area here, and the youth aren't fully aware of our program yet. So that's my biggest job right now is getting a hold of these the shooting sports coaches in my area and be like, hey, you know, we got this stuff going on. Get your kids on these and find youth to fill those positions.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like you almost have people knocking down the door, but it, like you said, you got to get the word out there. If they don't know about it, like, why would they be coming and asking if they don't know what you have going on or what you have to offer? How many of these hunts do you get to personally go on? I mean, it sounds like you're involved in planning a ton of them. Has it hindered your ability to get out in the field at all?
I couldn't tell you the exact number that I've actually done myself. Like I can pull up my spreadsheet and try to figure it out real fast, but I'd say I've personally done probably 3 a month since I started on here, maybe more.
Nice.
And so I'm still getting out. And, you know, of course, when I'm hosting for a kid, the kid gets the first shot.
Yep.
But like with the duck hunt the other day, I sat at the end of the line and I would call the shot and they'd shoot, and whatever they missed, I'd shoot at. So I still get out there with them, and I try to, you know, if I can get out during the week for an hour or two real fast and just go out and shoot some birds, I will. They're, like I said, the bosses and everyone's pretty understanding. And on the weekends where I'm not hosting a hunt, I'll get out with my kids and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm still able to get out for myself. I don't know if it's as much as I used to get out for myself, but I'm still able to get out for myself and do my own stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure. How do people get involved in something like this? Like, say you've got someone in the Wichita area or, you know, up in Iowa that is like, man, I've got a passion for this. I want to do the same thing. Like, following along with the whole R3 movement and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. How does somebody go about getting involved with Pass It On and becoming a mentor?
The easiest way to get on involved in our program is you go to our website, outdoormentors.org. And whenever you get on there, you'd go to the, there's a little tab right at the top, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4 over. And it says mentor. You click on that and you'll sign up as a mentor. You'll go through the steps. And again, one of the things that kind of makes people weary about is they'll go through an application process. And part of the application process is a background check. Again, we're working with youth, so we can't just let anybody work within our program. So they'll go through a background check. Once their background check is complete, either myself or Eric or Brittany or Mike or Stephanie will reach out to that person and see how they want to get involved. And I know each mentor or each coordinator has kind of their own way of doing it. So like for me out here, I'll call you and be like, hey, what do you like to do? And they'll tell me what they like to do. And they'll say, okay, how about this? Whenever you know that you have something that you can host, you give me 2 weeks notice and I'll get it put onto our website, and we'll find you to get involved in that hunt, whatever it is. And so, you know, I had some guys that they tell me right off the back, it's like, okay, I got these weekends available, set something up at these locations. And so I would go and get into our calendar. I'd build our event for, I don't know, a fishing trip every other Saturday for this guy. And we'd start putting it out there. So that's the easiest way, though. Go to the website. And like, you know, there's a lot of information on our program on the website. There's how to become a mentor. There's a youth sign up on there. There's a events calendar where you can click and look at the events in Kansas and in Iowa. And it'll tell you exactly what we have going on every day. And you can sign up through that calendar too to go on a hunt.
Nice. Okay. So I've got a couple questions, and I ask one of these questions to everybody, but I'm going to reframe it and ask it a second time. First off, bucket list hunt, like number one dream hunt for you, where would you hunt? What would you hunt? And what weapon would you use?
Oh man. I think I would, it'd probably be a waterfowl hunt of some sort. I think I want to go to New Zealand and just kill the shit out of, or excuse me, just kill a bunch of waterfowl.
You're good.
I'd like to go to New Zealand, shoot a bunch of waterfowl, because there's just so many different things over there you can do. I mean, I could make it into a waterfowl and anything else hunt I wanted to.
Yeah.
They have their ducks and their geese and their swan over there. It looks like it'd be a good time. So I'd like to go do that. And if I could choose the firearm, I probably wouldn't take it along, because it'd be it's kind of costly to take firearms in New Zealand, from what I understand. But if I had the option, I'd take my grandpa's old A5.
Nice.
And use that to shoot them with. But
dude, those A5s are so sweet. Like, they hold up. People don't realize just how good of a gun that is. My buddy, I've had two friends that use, like, super old A5s.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them was, like, the Belgian-made. And then I don't remember where the other one was. But yeah, they brought them out, and I was like, dude, these shoot like a dream. I didn't realize they made this good of shotguns back then.
Well, I got that one from 2 years ago from my dad. It's a 1957 Belgian A5.
Nice.
And so I got that, I think, 2 years ago from my dad. And I put the old over-under up, and I pulled that out on all my pheasant hunts and stuff last year. I think for the first time in my life, I got a triple on quail. So that thing. So
heck
it's
yeah.
been a it's been a heck of a gun, and I love taking it out because, you know, my grandpa used it, my dad used it, now I'm using it. One day, one of my kids is gonna hopefully use it. So it's just it's cool taking it around and doing that stuff with. So that would be my weapon of choice for a waterfowl hunt like that, I think.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. What's your favorite type? I don't think I asked you this. What's your favorite type of bird to hunt?
Yes, all of them.
Yes.
I really like pheasant hunting because, you know, like I said, I grew up pheasant hunting. I'm pretty good at being able to find a cover that the birds are in. Like, you know, I put a lot of birds up in front of people. It's just up on them whether they can shoot it or not. And I've shot a lot of birds myself. So probably pheasant hunting is one of my favorites. I like duck hunting a lot now too. You know, it's really, really gotten into my soul that the duck hunting. And I don't have a certain duck I want to shoot. I want to shoot all the ducks right now. So
yeah. Duck hunting has a way of doing it, and I don't know what it is specifically. I mean, I kind of do because I'm a duck hunter. So, like, you still have that camaraderie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about scent. You don't have to worry about sound or movement or anything like that until you have birds coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, hey, sit down, shut up, and the birds are going to be here. You also have, like, that interaction where you're calling and you're communicating and you're having to convince them to come in. So you have like a lot of really cool aspects, and then you throw a dog in the mix, you throw in like all the different places you can hunt, which I'm not sure what type of terrain you guys hunt. I know you said you hunt some water, but going from like rivers to lakes to small cattle ponds or dry field hunting, like there's so many different areas that you can hunt them in. Dude, waterfowl, I don't know, man. There's something about it. For a long time, that was my number one. There is nothing that beat waterfowl for me.
Yeah.
Since there's a couple things that are sneaking up. So.
It's a whole new world from what I was used to, you know. And it's, I think there's that camaraderie to it. There's that, I don't know, just everything about it I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm from a part of the, you know, you hear Western Kansas, you're like, duck hunting in Western Kansas? Well, if you can find, you know, it comes down to scouting. If you find the right places, you can get into some pretty good birds pretty quick. So,
yeah, what species are you guys mainly shooting over there? Or is it a pretty big mixed bag?
It's a pretty good. Like, we got a lot of widgeon, a lot of gadwall. There's some pintails in the area right now. Wood ducks. I mean, you get green wing, blue wing tail, mallards, of course. You know, I shot a buffalo head last year.
Nice.
It was really pretty cool Drake buffalo head. I think of the, like, of all the species, I've already shot like 20 some of them or something like that. So I've
dang. You know,
just out here in Western Kansas, there's all that. It's well, Kansas itself, it's part of the Central Flyway, so it's a good place for almost everything you want to get at.
Yep.
I know one of the local lakes by me a couple of years back, there were sea ducks on it. I don't know how they got there. They got lost somewhere, but there's guys out there shooting sea ducks on them.
Dang.
So that's it's weird. It's a weird little area. Every once in a while, I'm really hoping to get a cinnamon one of these days. They come into our area on occasion, so that'd be a cool one to get.
I always, when I was out in Colorado, I would see cinnamons, but I would see them all spring, and then all of a sudden, waterfowl season would come. Never see one again. That's still top of my bucket list is to shoot a cinnamon. Like, oh man, that'd be so cool.
I think I really like New Mexico. I have a kind of a one day I'd like to move to New Mexico kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But when I was down there doing that pronghorn hunt, there's some little water holes and there's some fully phased cinnamon teal on those water holes. I was like, man, I don't have, well, because we were scaled quail hunting at that time because we'd already shot our pronghorn. So I was using the old Brownie. I didn't have any boss ammo or anything that I could shoot those with. So it was like, I just got to sit here and stare at them because I can't do anything. But there's three or four little water holes with a bunch of cinnamon teal on a fully phased. Would have been awesome to shoot a few.
Those southern states, man, they get loaded up with them. I'm hoping that we run into some in Texas in December.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fingers crossed. There's a guy that we're going hunting with down there, and he keeps sending me pictures of all the teal that they shot during their teal season. They shot one cinnamon. It wasn't phased out or anything. I mean, you could barely tell it was the cinnamon from the picture.
Yeah.
But he's like, man, there's years where we really get on them. And so that's like, yes, please. The only other bird that I would take over a cinnamon teal which this is like so rare, you're probably never going to see one, but I've seen pictures of pintail mallard hybrids,
mm-hmm.
and they're like the most beautiful bird I've ever seen in my life. And so I want to find
It was a pintail wigeon hybrid. That thing was cool looking.
Dang, all those hybrids, I don't know, there's something about it. Like they just get that the unique characteristics from both. Like mm-hmm. I feel like a pintail wood duck hybrid would be just unreal. But
I saw one of a wood duck mallard hybrid that was real cool looking.
Ooh, I
think it would be a cool one.
I'm gonna be sitting on my computer all day looking at all the different variations of hybrid ducks, see if I can figure something out. Well, that's awesome. My follow-up to that first question about your bucket list hunt is going to be, what is your bucket list hunt that you would want to get youth out on? Have you thought of something like, hey, man, this would be really cool down the road to get a new hunter out on X, Y, or Z game animal?
I think either an elk hunt or a sandhill crane hunt for youth would be cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you ever done a sandhill before? Is this going to be your first one?
This is going to be the first one.
Last year, my dad and I went down to Oklahoma, and we did one of them. We took my daughter along. And it was real cool because like they start circling from way up in the air, and they just come down to this big circle, and they fan out so large, and it's if you almost have to be blind to miss them when they fan out like that.
Yeah,
the sounds they make and the excitement you get as you watch them just slowly come in is I think that'd be real cool for some youth. And I think I just had a mentor come on that does a lot of crane hunting, so I think I might be able to get that crane hunt sometime, hopefully this year.
Dude, that's gonna be so sweet. Yeah, the sandhill crane hunting, like I had never lived anywhere where we could shoot them. Like growing up in Wisconsin, here in Missouri, it's illegal to shoot them in both places. Well, Wisconsin has a ton of them. Like, especially as you get over close to Lake Michigan, we were up there last year for a waterfowl hunt, and we're just sitting there and way off in the distance, you know, you hear the, and I'm like, dude, it sounds like freaking Jurassic Park around here. And I just forgot, you know, yeah, we don't have them very often in Missouri. And so being back up there, I'm like, dude, I forget the sounds that they make and how big they are and how far the sound travels and how far away you can see them. And to think that, like, this fall I'm going to be sitting – or this winter I'm going to be sitting in a field in Texas and have something with a freaking 6-foot wingspan, like, back flapping in my face, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. My daughter was because, like I said, she came down with us, and she was telling all the kids in her class that she was going with me and my dad to go hunt birds that were as big as she was, you know?
Yeah.
So she's in – at the time, she's been in second year, third grade. And all those kids are like, there's birds don't get that big, you know, and they're like, you're not going hunting. And there's a bunch of, you know, kids being kids. And so when she got back, I got a picture of her laying next to one of them all fanned out. And I printed that out. She took it to school with her to go show the kids the bird that was as big as her. So,
oh, my gosh.
That was I think we shot between we had a blind with six of us in it. And I want to say we shot 12 that day. So it was a pretty good little shootout.
Heck yeah.
I had a great time doing it.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, shoot straight with me, because I always hear about how good they taste. I've never tried them, and I'm excited to, but I also don't want to get my hopes so high that I'm almost let down by it. So scale of 1 to 10, how good is it?
This is what I'll say. If you cook it right, medium rare like a steak, I'll put it up there in the 10. But you got to eat all then, because if you leave it in the fridge overnight and try to heat it up the next day, it tastes like crap.
Okay.
Fresh only.
Fresh only. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pumped to try that out. And it's going to be a good group of guys. It's an Army vet that, you know, found me on social media. And he's like, dude, come on down. Like, I'll treat you, bring some buddies. And I'm like, what? Nice. This is amazing. Like, I went down to Texas. I've never done a ton of hunting in Texas. I did a whitetail hunt years ago. I did a couple hog hunts, and that was basically it. But on those hog hunts, the amount of waterfowl that I saw down there,
yeah,
I'm like, I can see why people live here. You know, the fact that you can be out in the outdoors seeing monster deer, pigs, coyotes, bobcats, that many different types of waterfowl, and you also might have a kangaroo bounce through. Like, yeah. I mean, Texas is a freaking crazy place, but I'm pretty pumped to get after some waterfowl in the south and some sandhill cranes, so. Before we,
sweet, huh?
What's that?
It should be a pretty sweet hunt, man. I've had some buddies have hunted down in Texas and had a good time with it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's always just a unique experience getting into a totally different landscape. Like, you feel like you're starting over almost, because yeah. I'm so used to knowing where birds like to hang out in my area that, like, if I go out to, like you were saying, New Mexico or something, I'd be like, shoot, where do I start to look for birds here? But yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we hop off the show, I want to give you an opportunity to share with everybody where they can find you, where they can follow along. I know you had mentioned how they can get involved with Pass It On, but you specifically, how can they follow your journey?
I mean, I'm not big on a lot of social media. I got Instagram. It's Bobby's World period 88 is my Instagram. I have Facebook, but I usually don't have a lot of people that I don't know on Facebook. It's kind of my happy place where I don't have to deal with other people. Yeah, Instagram's the main place. I know, again, with the Pass It On Outdoor Mentors, we got Instagram, we got LinkedIn, we got Facebook, we got all those things as well, too, that people can find us on that as well.
Perfect. Yeah, that's awesome. Personal hunts, what do you have coming up?
Really, it's kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I know I got when I stepped down from the Fall and Outdoors, I told them that I would still help them do their annual pheasant hunt out here in Western Kansas. So I know we have a November 11th chucker hunt that we're doing, just place birds for some vets that I'm going to help them with. So that's a Veterans Day. And then the next day is the opening for pheasant season. So November 12th, we'll go out and we'll hit all the public lands around the area for some pheasants with a bunch of vets, and I'll be doing some shooting. I'm sure I'll squeeze in some duck hunts before then. And come December, my dad and I try to, every year I try to go on a guided hunt with my dad and I. And it's not for the simplicity's sake, it's just for the kind of him and I can just hang out and not have to worry about doing anything whenever we're doing that. So we are going on a goose hunt with Raining Steel waterfowl out of over by Kansas City. So him and both my kids are going to go do a goose hunt, a field goose hunt. So that should be a good time.
Heck yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, good luck this season. Thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it, and keep up the good work getting new hunters out there, teaching them about the sport, getting them involved. Like, that is something that everybody needs to do more of, whether you do it on a personal level where you just talk to a buddy and see if they're interested and invite them out, or getting involved in an organization like Pass It On. We need everybody, because there's a lot of hunters that are phasing out right now, and we need people coming in to replace them and continue to contribute to conservation in the sports that we love.
I appreciate it. Like, if you ever find yourself out in Western Kansas, hit me up. We'll go shoot something.
Sounds good, man. I'm all about it. And that is going to wrap it up for today's episode. Man, I think I'm going to take Bobby up on that offer to come out to Kansas and do some upland hunting, because upland hunting is the one type of hunting that I just keep on hearing more and more about that I really have little to no experience in. And it's something that I want to get into. In fact, I was just talking to a buddy that went up, and he was hunting different types of grouse and partridge, basically chucker, I think it is, Hungarian partridge, chucker, I think those are the same thing. And anyways, he was up in Montana or Wyoming doing that, and he was like, dude, it was so much fun. It's a totally different type of hunting, obviously, and I've got the smallest amount of experience with it out of all the hunting activities that I've done, but it's something that I definitely want to get more into, and especially now that I have a dog, try to get him trained in it and get out and do some of these upland bird hunts. I think that would be pretty amazing. So good luck to him this season, and good luck to the rest of you guys. Hopefully you guys are out there all over the place. People are shooting big bucks, they're shooting bulls, they're gearing up for Western hunts that are still to come. I mean, the mule deer rut still hasn't hit. The whitetail rut is just now. I mean, the pre-rut's kind of kicking in right now all over the place. And depending on when you listen to this, it may have already really kicked off in your area. So good luck out there. Stay safe. And until next time, always choose adventure, and God bless.